Hi, I'm Jason Gould, and you're listening to Life Minute.
One listen to Jason Gould's powerful voice and heartfelt lyrics, and you know you're listening to something special. And how could it not be? Born into Hollywood royalty, his mom is Barbra Streisand, and his dad, the iconic actor Elliot Gould. Yet this humbled, impassioned soul struggled to realize his own talents growing up. The 57-year-old singer-songwriter has just come out with his second EP called Sacred Days, an upbeat dance collection of songs that will leave you wanting more. We sat down with this uber talent recently in his hometown, LA, to hear all about it and more. This is a Life Minute with Jason Gould.
Woohoo! Jason Gould in the house! Yay! Jason, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So happy to have you.
Thank you.
Yay! How are you doing?
I'm good. It's a beautiful day here in Southern California, so, you know, lots to be grateful for, and about to put some new music out into the world, so.
Some beautiful new music.
Oh, thank you.
Amazing. Tell us about it.
You know, I started working on these songs about a year ago. The first one I wrote was called Run, which is on the EP coming out. I don't know if you've heard some of these songs or all the You've heard all the songs?
Yes.
Oh, okay, cool. Because my friend and collaborator Alan Rich, who has written some wonderful songs for Whitney Houston and others, asked me if I was interested in doing dance music. And I had never thought about dance music. I love dance music, but I thought, well, let's give it a shot. And then we wrote Run. And so from there, my creative juices started flowing, and I ended up writing other melodies and working with other lyricists. But I've always been drawn to rhythmic dance music. So there's more of that in this collection of songs than I've probably explored before.
Yeah, it's definitely different from like Dangerous Man.
No.
It sounds so different.
And this is all original material. I wrote all these songs, whereas my past releases were mostly covers and a couple original songs. So I'm definitely going further into myself and having a good time.
That's so neat. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
And how would you describe your sound?
I follow my instincts musically. So I've always been a kid who would sit at the piano and come up with melodies when I was like 7, 8, 9 years old. But I never had the skills to be able to craft it into a real song. And it wasn't until quite a few decades later that I actually took a workshop and started to learn and then met other songwriters and collaborated. And the first song I put out into the world that I had co-written was called Morning Prayer. It's on the first EP I did. And the lyricist I worked with on that song, Liz Vidal, and I wrote four of these songs together. So she and I have a special connection. You know, when you hear them, you'll see.
All right, Sacred Days. Let's tell us about that one too.
Sacred Days is a song I wrote with Liz Vidal and Dorian Chia. Again, we're all kind of creating from the same place. I mean, all of these songs were created in a very organic way. It started with a melody. That's where I generally start with songwriting. I come up with a melody that I like, and sometimes in the process there are words or even phrases. It's a really interesting experience to write this way. When you show up in a writing session, you don't know, you have nothing. Like, you don't have a preconceived idea. That's how I like to work. And I have to relax, be so sort of relaxed and surrendered so that I become almost like a channel. Like, this thing wants to get born through me, the melody. It just, it either feels right or it doesn't. And when that flow happens, often there are parts of the song that are just delivered. The titles of a lot of these songs came through in that first pass. When that melody comes through, it's not like I'm thinking about the notes, I'm thinking about an idea. It's not about that. It's about being so relaxed, so surrendered to the creative state, whatever it is. I mean, it's a mystical, spiritual experience, really. But I think a lot of writers probably work this way. It's just I found that this is how I enjoy doing it, not from an intellectual place.
How do you get to that place? Like, how do you relax?
Well, I'm a meditator. I started meditating probably in 2008 or 9. And so for me, meditation is a daily practice that I've been doing ever since. And if I don't meditate in the morning, it would be like going out of my house and not brushing my teeth. I would just feel off. So it's a big part of how I stay grounded and how I connect to myself and to what's real. I'm a seeker. I've always been a seeker of, well, I'm a seeker of peace, that's for sure. But I'm a seeker of truth. And I've always been an observer of, like, people. Ever since I was a kid, I've been very I haven't been somebody who necessarily wanted to be in the spotlight, but I was somebody who was always watching. I've met some amazing people along this journey. And I was born into a kind of unusual, kind of special thing. So it was like I was trying to make sense of this world that I was born into and the world at large. And so I've always been an observer of people. And I'm probably like an armchair sociologist, you know, a backseat sociologist or something. Not that I have a degree in it, but I have so much experience watching that I think I see through a lot of BS. You know, I know what feels true, what feels right, and I'm drawn to that. It's all that for me. Yeah. And music is an expression of my instincts.
And I was going to ask you that. I mean, obviously, you know, your mom is a national treasure,
yeah.
Your dad an icon. What was that like growing up into that? And did you know you wanted to follow? I mean, because you act as well, so did you know you wanted to do that?
You know, I was thinking about it. I was conceived. I believe my mother was doing Funny Girl on stage. So I was in her body as she's singing these great songs. And then I think she recorded her Christmas album while she was pregnant with me. Music is just a part of my DNA. I'm musical, you know, but I was also afraid of exploring that part of myself for so long.
Why?
I think I was afraid of being compared, judged, not good enough. You know, when you have an icon as a parent in that field, it was like, well, why, how do I, where would I? And I didn't have the confidence either. So it took me years as I got to know myself and worked on myself and walked through some of my fears that I started to explore my own musicality in a deeper way. And so it unfolded, all of this unfolded so organically. It was not a plan. I never thought I would sing in front of anybody, honestly. I thought that maybe that part of myself would just be shut down and I would keep it to myself. And what I realized is that had I done that, it probably would have slowly killed me. Because I think when you have that need to express yourself creatively through music or whatever it is, and you don't use it, I think it's like curdles inside. It's like a slow death.
Yep.
Because I think that needs to be born through you, you know?
Absolutely.
I was also thinking about like artists, you know? I think artists know pain. I think artists use their pain to create. Part of why I think a lot of people who are artists have had really difficult childhoods, traumas. It's a way of like taking the pain of life and turning it into something that actually helps other people, touches other people. So there's purpose, there's goodness in it, you know? And I mean, the most I could ever hope for was just to give anybody a sense of peace, or, you know, a sense of connection to the human condition that we all struggle with.
Beautiful. When was it when you said, oh yeah, I am going to do this, I can do this?
The way this unfolded was not a plan. I had started to write songs collaboratively with other people, and then I wanted to try singing a song, recording a song that I hadn't written but that I liked and that I thought I could do something different with. And that song was How Deep Is the Ocean. So I had recorded my version of the song with Stefan Oberhoff, a wonderful collaborator that I had worked with on my early music. And I shared it with my mother. I'd never sung in front of her. And so evidently when she heard it, she was sort of shocked. And she said, I want to sing this with you. And then a few months later, I believe she decided to put together a tour and asked me if I would go on the tour with her and sing this song. And I thought, I don't know if I could do this. I mean, I've never sung in front of anybody. How am I going to sing in front of a stadium of 18,000 people? But that's where the meditation and the prayer came in, because had I not had that, I don't know that I could have done it. Because I wasn't somebody seeking to be in the spotlight or that kind of attention. I mean, I was exploring my musicality for myself. It wasn't because I was seeking fame or that attention. So that's where this comes for me. It's really not about that, it's about this.
Well, clearly, you know, your videos are so powerful too.
Oh, thank you.
World Gone Crazy in particular, which is just out. Tell us about that. How did that come to be?
Well, again, the creative process of that song was I didn't intend to write a song about the insanity of what's going on in the world at this time. And it was also before the events of October 7th. So it wasn't written about what was going on in the Middle East. But there's nothing new about that story. I mean, human beings have been killing each other for centuries, for millennia. And so I just was disturbed, as so many of us are, by what's going on in the world, by the nature of politics nowadays, and how people don't know what's true, the manipulation of the truth. And so that song, that melody was first born, and again, some of those words came through, including World Gone Crazy. It was part of, when I channeled that song, parts of those words were there, including World Gone Crazy. So then it was like, that's what this song wanted to be. And so Liz and I worked, how do we help it be what it wants to be? It's like honoring this thing, this song. It's like, you know, it's like you have a child and like, you gotta send it to the right school, you know? And a song is sort of like a short film. It's just you're telling the story with sound as opposed to visuals. And then when it came time to, I wanted, because I had a vision for that video, how do I make, what would I, I just saw it in my head. I saw part of it in my head, and then it was a matter of how do you create it. And we did it on such a low budget. You know, I found this place downtown where you could shoot against a large LED screen. Never done that before. Didn't even know how to do it. And we had like a few hours to do this. I mean, technically challenged. The DP was wonderful, but he showed up with the wrong camera. No monitor. And so we made the best of it.
Wow, you know. You'd never know. It's beautiful.
Thank you. So, powerful. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, art gets born by not having much to work with. You make
scrappy.
The best of it. Exactly.
Amazing.
Exactly.
So good. Did you always have these convictions that you have?
I think I've always related to, I'm a proud liberal. I believe in human rights and dignity for all people. So yes, it bothers me to see where that gets abused, you know, and I look at the children on both sides of the conflict in the Middle East, and I just, my God, the death, the devastation, the destruction has just been so devastating. So that video is, that song is about that. It's just my pain, my frustration that I know so many people are feeling. Like, what do we do about this? How is this happening? And what can we do about it? And I know, because I don't believe in violence. I'm not somebody who supports violence. If you look at my Instagram, you see I post a lot of quotes by people. And I think it was Gandhi that said, an eye for an eye leaves the whole world blind. So at some point, we have to rise above this kind of stuff. Otherwise, we are on a path of destruction, the human race. And there's so much beauty here on this planet, you know, with so much to be grateful for, and yet so many people are suffering so extremely. So I see that pain, I feel the pain, and I guess this song is an expression of that.
Your voice is so beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
Did you ever have voice lessons?
I did take some voice lessons because I literally was so afraid to use my voice. I needed a place to practice that, you know, because I really didn't know if I had a good voice. I didn't know. You know, my mother has such a great voice. She's such a iconic, she's so powerful in her voice, and she's made some incredible music. You know, I didn't know if I was good enough.
What did you do, like go in the closet and sing? Like, what did you do? How could you not know? It's crazy.
I wasn't sure. You know, I mean, I'm somebody who can be very hard on myself. I mean, I'm someone who has been very hard on myself. And part of my journey is to be more loving to myself. And, you know, get me on certain days and, you know, what I see in the mirror I may not like. And other days, you know, I can appreciate what I see in the mirror. Same with my voice. I don't always like the sound of my voice. But I heard Cher saying, I'm not really a fan of Cher. You know, she doesn't like her own voice. I understand that. But if it touches other people, and I've experienced that it has, that's really powerful. I just want to remind people that, you know, we're all human. And it's hard to be human. You know, we all have our traumas and our struggles. Just a reminder that, you know, you're not alone in it means sometimes the difference between life and death. So I look at my music as just sort of an offering. Maybe this will touch your heart for a moment. Maybe this will soothe your soul for a moment. What more could I hope for, you know?
That's what music does for people too, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I always ask, what do you think music does for people?
Yeah, and it transcends politics, and it transcends religion, and it transcends the differences that we have, you know? It's a very powerful medium.
Do you think people are hard on you because they expect you to, you know, they expect that?
Well, I think I that's why I haven't really enjoyed performing, is because sometimes I feel like people would come to see me, but they would compare me or judge me based on my mother. And that doesn't feel good to me. So I've really sort of, even though I explored performing, it's not something I really enjoy. So I love to create music. I love to work in the studio. I love to collaborate with other people. But getting on stage in front of like an audience to me is like, not my favorite thing.
So you don't think you'll be touring? Or you think that'll change? Or
no? It's not my plan to. You know, I know that I have frustrated and disappointed some people because I haven't when I put out my, you know, earlier album, Dangerous Man. But I had to be honest. If I was doing that and I wasn't enjoying it, I think it would show.
Right. But this music's so different. It's so poppy, you know, so much more poppy. Maybe that'll inspire
you. I don't know. You know, I don't claim to know what comes next. I try to just be in the moment as best I can. So I don't know what the future holds. But it's not my ambition to do that. But I'll never say never.
Yeah.
You just don't know.
What about acting?
You know, I haven't really acted for, God, quite a while. And it's not an ambition of mine. But if the right part or the right people came along, I would, of course, be open to it because I'm always looking to challenge myself creatively and participate in that creative process, which is what I enjoy so much. I like showing up. Like, I don't know what you're going to ask me. Like, I like the unknown. To me, this is where, like, life is, you know? It's not, like, pre-planning it or what I'm going to say. I have no idea what I'm going to say. But then that's where real life is, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
In the moment.
I love your dad. I watch him every night on Friends or Grace and Frankie, my two favorite shows.
I think he was on that too, wasn't he?
Yes.
I haven't seen that, but
I think I've heard that you've never seen Friends.
Well, it's not true that I've never seen Friends. I've seen parts of Friends. You know, I had auditioned for Friends. I was told I almost got one of the roles. No, I never watched it religiously. What I've seen is very funny. They're wonderful. The writing's fantastic. I mean, I'm just not generally a huge fan of sitcoms. It's just not my thing. I would rather watch a documentary, you know? I love documentaries for sure, but I also love, like, and this is my guilty pleasure, certain dating shows, like reality dating shows. Oh my God, I can get sucked
into
this.
Love is Blind, right?
I watched the first few seasons of Love is Blind. I recently started watching like The Bachelorette, The Bachelor, Bachelor in Paradise. Oh my God.
It's I haven't seen those.
It's like junk food, but it's kind of fun.
All right, you grew up in New York and now you're in LA.
I actually grew up in LA. Oh, yeah. I was born in New York. I was conceived in London. I spent a lot of my life in LA, but also New York too.
What do you love to do in New York?
Yeah, I guess I'm a New Yorker at heart. You know, I was born there. I was a weird kid. I mean, I was moving with my mother, you know, so I would be wherever she was making a movie, I would be with her probably. So that took me to Africa when I was 5 years old. I remember being in New York when I was like 11 years old, because my mother's boyfriend at the time, John Peters, was producing this movie called Eyes of Laura Mars. So for half the year, I think it was fifth grade, I was going to school in New York. There was a rap party for that movie, and the rap party was at Studio 54. So I was in my velour sweater, and I was at 11 years old at Studio 54, and I remember, now I loved disco music at the time. My best friend and I used to go to like sober discos, like for underage kids. You know, they didn't serve alcohol.
Did they have those?
Yes, they did. We went to them. So I found myself at Studio 54 at 11.
Oh my goodness.
And this like giant spoon came down from the ceiling and I thought, what is that?
Wow.
So I've met some really interesting people, had some wild experiences. And you know, when you have some distance with the stuff, you realize, wow, I've been around.
I know, my gosh, like, God, how you turned out, you could have been, grounded and...
Thank you. I know a lot of people in my position might have been dead or, you know, drug addicts. I mean, I saw it all the time. And I lost a lot of friends who weren't born into the circumstances I was, who did not make it past 50. You know, I had a lot of friends like that. Dear friends.
What do you attribute that to? Is it parenting or just you're just an old soul? And
I am an old soul, but also I think my greatest ambition was to transcend some of my own inner struggles. Freedom, like freedom is my greatest ambition. So freedom to be myself authentically. And exploring music was of course part of how I got there, because that was a part of me that I hadn't really honored, I hadn't explored. I just want to be at peace in my own skin, and I am for the most part, except sometimes in traffic. I am, you know, I can be quite impatient. That's probably my greatest weakness is my impatience. And technically, I'm a little challenged, as I told you in the elevator. Yes. But other than that, I know who I am. I am at peace with myself. And a lot of that came through the meditation work.
When did you start doing that?
Probably 2008 or 9. You know, I've always, as I said, I've been a seeker of spiritual truth. I didn't find it through religion. Even though I was bar mitzvahed as a kid, it wasn't something I sought out or wanted. My parents wanted it for me, and so I was bar mitzvah, but I had 104 fever at the time. I was very sick. So I think I probably didn't really want to be bar mitzvah. Right. But I am proud of my heritage, but I'm not a religious person. I'm a spiritual person.
How did you get into that?
Well, as I said, I've always been a seeker. I mean, when I came back to LA in 2008, a friend of mine invited me to an Al-Anon meeting. I didn't think, wow, I don't qualify for this. I mean, I don't really have alcoholics in my family. I'm not an alcoholic. But I was so welcomed there. It was such a wonderful, loving community where people were sharing themselves and getting to know themselves. And the 12 steps are such a brilliant way of doing that work. And I dove in. I went there for 4 years. I had a sponsor. That's really how I got into meditation.
Wow.
Because it's a part. It's the 11th step. It changed me. It gave me something that I hadn't found before, and I was somebody who was in therapy quite young. I had a lot to work out, you know. It hasn't been easy, but I have worked for this freedom. I really have. So I think it's the greatest accomplishment I'll ever have. You know.
Congratulations, yeah.
I really do. And to be able to then offer it to others and share what I have learned and what I know, and you know, because I've done the work. And I think my music is a reflection of that. So that's my offering.
Aww. What's next musically?
Well, I continue to write. You know, I don't know. I'm an independent artist. I don't have a record label behind me. So I have self-financed my own music. And when I make money from music, I put it back into making more music. And I've never really had PR before. Like, I've never promoted myself. I've never felt comfortable with that. So doing this with you is actually a kind of a first for me. So thank you. It's an honor. Well, likewise. Thank you. I can tell you're just a generous, loving soul. I feel very safe in your presence. And so you've given me permission to be really open with you.
I'm so honored. Thank you. Ditto, I feel the same way. I have life questions.
Like,
what's your best life advice, since this is a life minute?
What is that quote? Know thyself. Know thyself. Without that, I don't know where you begin. I've said this in other interviews, but I'll say it again because I think it's a good one. You know, I've never been impressed because I grew up in a world of fame and material success or whatever, but I was never impressed with that. What impresses me about anyone is humility, honesty, kindness, compassion, integrity, those qualities. You can have both together, and that's special. I recently met Sir Paul McCartney, and he has those qualities. I mean, this legendary human being, creative genius, but he's a humble man. That's what I look for.
And you were raised that way too, I'm sure.
Well, my parents are yeah, you know,
they're
good people. They mean well and they do good in the world. My mother has been really helped a lot of people. Not only has her music and her movies touched a lot of people, but she's done a lot of charitable work. I mean, and really stood up for civil rights and human rights going back to the 60s. She cares also deeply about what's right. Wrong. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
She cares. Yeah. And she's put her money and her efforts behind it. Mm-hmm. So I admire that.
What would your current self tell your younger self?
It would say, I love you. I'm here for you. I see you. I hear you. And I'm there for you.
Do you want to say anything about your sexuality and say people that
I'm openly gay.
Yeah.
I am single.
Oh, she's single.
I'm single. Yeah, it's been hard, like, trying to find my soulmate. I haven't found him yet. I'm here, guys, if anybody wants
to. Good to know. Yeah.
I'm not desperate, though. I'm not desperate, but my heart is open, and my heart is seeking that which feels right, you know? And it's probably a tall order, because I can't settle, you know, and I'm not desperate.
I'm just going to be picky.
In the meanwhile, I have my dog and my friends and my family, and I'm blessed.
What do you want to say anything to people that aren't comfortable and are afraid to come out, even in this day and age?
God, it's changed so much, you know, since I was younger. When I had done The Prince of Tides, that movie was about to come out, and the tabloids ran this crazy story that I had married a male, a model, or it was crazy, and it was completely not true. But it was like being outed, you know, and this was 1991, maybe. I didn't care that much because I wasn't really ambitious to be, you know, an actor, but it definitely changed the trajectory of my acting career, because after that, the only roles that I would have been considered for would have been gay roles. And the gay roles were mostly stereotypical gay roles, which I didn't feel comfortable playing, you know. I just didn't relate to them. I acted after that, you know, but again, it wasn't like, I don't think I'm just an actor or just a singer, I'm just a creative person, and these are different expressions, different ways I express myself. So you can't put me in that box, you know.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist for me.
Favorite comfort food?
I have a sweet tooth. Pies, cakes, cookies, ice cream. Oh, yes. Deep pleasure from these things, yeah. Curdled dairy, not so much.
Really?
I don't know why. I never have. Just the smell of it.
It's good.
Yeah. Parmesan is like, I don't understand why someone would want to eat something that smells like that. You know.
Like blue cheese, right?
Oh, God. The other day, I was with a friend, and I bit into her olive, and it had cheese in it, and I almost died.
That's funny. What's the best advice you ever got from your parents?
You know, my parents didn't give me much advice. I was kind of like left to my own devices in a lot of ways. I had to figure it out for myself. I don't think they got much advice from their parents, so I don't know that they had much to give. And they were having such an extreme and unusual careers. What do you say? I don't know. I kind of had to figure it out for myself. And so that's why I guess I've been a seeker. You know, how do I make sense of this stuff? I mean, I don't know if you saw the short film I made called Inside Out. Somebody posted it on YouTube or something. It's about that. And I use that experience of being outed in the tabloids in this film. So I was like, I was taking my experience and then sort of, you know, adding to it. But what I didn't realize when I made the film was why I needed to make the film. Like, I felt the need to make, I wrote the film, I directed the film, I'm in the film, but I didn't know what I was trying to communicate, really. It wasn't until, like, years later when I saw it again, I realized, oh, this movie is about self-acceptance. And it's that's what I needed to learn. That's where I had to get to. And so that's why I know that art is a way that I think artists help themselves, heal themselves, use their pain for good, for creative good. Is there something very satisfying about being able to create from nothing, something?
And what about now with singing? Does your mom ever say, okay, does she ever have tips for singing, your voice? Or?
No. I mean, I recently listened back to some of the early recordings I did, including the duet we recorded on her partner's album, and it's quite good. I was like, this is really good.
I'm so glad you can recognize it.
There are certain things I don't like, too. I'm not a perfectionist. Sometimes people get stuck striving for their idea of what perfection is because I don't think it exists. It's a trap to me. I know what good enough is, and then I can let it go. Good enough. It's good enough.
Awesome. I'm joining Al-Anon tomorrow.
Al-Anon was wonderful. I learned so much, so many life lessons there. And I made some great friends. I'm so glad that program and other programs exist because I have a lot of friends who have come from some dark places and were profoundly helped by the 12 steps.
Amazing. What about music? What do you listen to? What artists do you love? And who were your inspirations?
When I was a kid, I remember my first favorite song. I had two. One was I Say a Little Prayer by Dionne Warwick. And Up, Up, and Away by The Fifth Dimension. I had the little 45. I had like a little plastic red record player. I was 5 years old. I remember in the 70s, like I loved Diana Ross and the Supremes, Queen, The Eagles, Elton John. And then in the 80s, I was really into Chaka Khan and The Police. The Psychedelic Furs, do you know them?
Oh yeah, I saw them a couple months ago.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
I went to see them in the 80s once. They were at the Santa Monica Civic or something. But then also Luther Vandross. I mean, I have big, wide, eclectic musical tastes. So Madonna, I met Madonna before she was famous, and she's made some amazing music. So many.
And congratulations again on your amazing work.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
I'm so excited for it.
I hope people discover it, find it, and enjoy it.
To see more of this interview, visit our website, lifeminute.tv. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, Life Minute TV.